Turn with me in your Bibles to Acts chapter 21. We're going to be looking at verses 1 through 6 as we continue our verse by verse and chapter by chapter study of the book of Acts on Sunday mornings. And as you know, we're in the book of 1 Samuel on Wednesdays, and just so thankful for the word of God. And Father, thank you for setting the table out for us to feast upon. We pray that your Holy Spirit will give us the understanding, the sense of your word, and Lord, the application for our lives, so we can walk out here being doers of your word and not just hearers only. In Jesus' name, amen. Acts chapter 21, looking at verses 1 through 6, the title of this message is Focus on the Family, Part 1. Focus on the Family, Part 1. Now, we hear a lot of talk about the family today, how the family is divided, separated, or at odds with one another. It seems like the families that I grew up watching on TV are a distant memory. I grew up watching Leave It to Beaver, My Three Sons, Family Affair, Brady Bunch, Good Times, Jeffersons, and later on in my children's generation, The Cosby Show. The typical family on these shows consisted of a father, a mother, and two or three children. And how different a generation makes. Today, a family consists of a mother, a father, who 9 out of 10 is not in the home. So a mother, boyfriend, and children. Or there is a father, stepmother, and stepchildren. And it is just a big mess. The children saying, you are my real father or my real mother. And the homes aren't a safe haven or a sanctuary, but a war zone. And instead of you being the pastor of your home, you have to be the general, because the general leads the way in war. And it's unfortunate the way things are today. So is there any hope for the family today? Yes, I believe there are. I believe that there is a hope. I really do believe that this text and these verses we're dealing with here will give us some helpful insights on how to have a family that is focused, focused on God and the things of God. And I believe this message is very critical today, because no matter what your family looks like, it's not a family that is focused. It's not, well, let me just change that. Not a family that's focused on the things of God. It's focused on whatever sporting events that's going on, whatever activity the children have. Oh, you focused on that. But I want to show you how to have a family focused on the things of God. Look what it says there in verse 1. It says, now it came to pass that when we had departed from them and set sail, running a straight course, we came to Kos, the following city or following day to Rhodes, and from there to Patara. Now this chapter opens up with Paul saying goodbye to the Ephesian elders he just finished teaching in chapter 20. Now, this was such a heartwarming scene here. This verse says, when he had departed from them. Now, Luke, the author, paints the scene for us with the Greek word used in this verse for departed. The Greek word is apospeo, and it means to tear away. And this shows the trauma they felt and the love they had for Paul, that he had to literally tear himself away from his crying friends. Then Luke gives the Google Maps, or the Waves, whatever you use, the Google Maps for their travels. He said they ran a straight course to the city of Kos, which was the capital of the island by the same name. From there they sailed to Rhodes, which was the home of the famed Colossus of Rome, which was one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. It was a statue of the Greek sun god Helios, which was around 108 feet tall. It was around the size of our Statue of Liberty. And it was destroyed in an earthquake that took place in 222 BC. And from Rhodes, they went southwest on the corner of Asia Minor, or modern-day Turkey, and they stopped at the city of Patara. Each stop took a day of sailing to arrive there, and they anchored there at night. And now Paul, Luke, and their companions had to find a ship that was sailing across the Mediterranean from Patara to Phoenicia. Look what it says there in verse 2. And finding a ship sailing over Phoenicia, we went aboard and set sail. So they found a cargo ship sailing across, and they boarded it in verse 2. And notice in verse 3, it says, when we had sighted Cyprus, we passed it on the left, sailed to Syria, and landed at Tyre, for there the ship was to unload her cargo. And then it says, and finding disciples in verse 4, they stayed there 7 days. They told Paul through the Spirit not to go up to Jerusalem. So they passed the city of Cyprus on the left in verse 3, came to Syria, and landed at Tyre because the ship had to unload some cargo. They ended up staying there for 7 days, according to verse 4. However, what stood out to me, watch this, what stood out to me is what they did while they were there. Did they go sightseeing? Did they go shopping? Did they look for an amusement park? No, they found disciples. There was a church established there earlier, and the Greek word for found is anaurisko, and it means to find by searching out. It gives the connotation of like you made a great discovery. And during this break, Paul could have easily said, you know, I deserve a break today too. Man. No, not Paul. He said, I want to be with the believers. I want to be at church. Notice his mindset. Totally different from the mindset today. There are too many people who believe while I am on break, I will also take a break from church too. And they wonder why they are fighting and arguing, ignoring each other, and the trip ends up in disaster. Or you end up engaging in fleshly activities and you come back and you realize that you didn't do anything spiritual like reading the Bible, praying, and you definitely didn't look for a church to attend. Whenever we go on break or vacation, I make sure that I search diligently for a church to attend, a Bible-believing church. I look for who's doing big things in the city that we're attending. And I try to go there, looking around, checking stuff, picking book brochures to so I can learn something. Maybe there's something that may apply here. Maybe it's not. I chew the meat, spit out the bones, but I'm going to go to the church that's doing a great thing in their city. And this can be a powerful witness to your unsaved family members that you're visiting. That, you know, hey, we're going to get up and we're going to do this, do that. And you can say, well, we can do all that, but I'm going to first go to church and then we're going to come back and then we can pick up on those things. But if you don't wait for me, you know, deuces, I catch you when you come back. It'd be a powerful witness. So often when family come into town, especially unsaved family members, all of a sudden when I don't see you, I ask you, hey, I didn't see you. Is everything okay? Oh, I just had family in town. That means because I have family in town that I'm going to take a break from church. And it's a sad thing, you know, to actually see that their unsaved ways has influenced you. They don't go to church, so they influence you not to go either. And then some may even put a guilt trip on you. Oh, well, I came all this way. You're going to be laid up in church? Because, see, they think that church is like from 9:30 to 3 like they used to. They don't know that church is an hour, hour, 15 minutes, and we'd be back at the house before you even finish cooking those eggs and that bacon. But see, they think that this is an all-day thing. But they have influenced you. And I see this all of the time. So Paul searched diligently for disciples, and he found them and hung out with them for 7 days. They had a message for him. Notice they told him through the Spirit not to go up to Jerusalem. These brothers that Paul searched diligently out for told him not to go up to Jerusalem. So what did Paul do? Oh, he went up to Jerusalem. Now, was Paul being disobedient by going, seeing that they told him not to go, notice, through the Spirit? No, Paul lived a life being very sensitive to the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit told him not to preach in a certain area in Acts 16 in verses 6 and 7, and he didn't. The Spirit of God told him not to go and minister, or to go, should I say, and minister to the people in the area of Macedonia in Acts 16 verses 9 and 10, and he obeyed. So he had a long history of obeying God, and it will seem very unlikely that he will disobey God this time around. Oh, let me just share what happened. This is what happened. The Holy Spirit was warning Paul of the persecution he would face in Jerusalem. You have to understand, John 16 and verse 13, Jesus said that the Holy Spirit will tell us things to come. And the believers in Tyre, through the Spirit, foresaw the suffering he would endure when he reached Jerusalem. So it is only natural that they would try to keep him from going. So the Spirit's message to Paul in Tyre was a warning to him of the persecution he would face, and not a message for him not to go. And I was thinking about this morning right before service, and I was going over my notes. This is why we must be very careful when we call ourselves giving people a word from the Lord. Because it can easily happen that we slip in our own feelings into that word from the Lord, and we give people a mixed message. And we got to be very careful with this, because it's easy for us to slip our own personal feelings into that word from the Lord. And this is what happened here. They saw through the Spirit Paul being persecuted, being physically harmed and all this. And they said, look here, the Spirit has said, when you go to Jerusalem, don't go, don't go. And see, that was their own personal feelings not to go, because it's only natural. The guy that they loved and heard about and all this stuff, that they didn't want him to go through that. So don't even go. And it wasn't a message of don't go, but you're going to go, and this is what's going to happen to you. So be very careful when you're calling yourself giving people a word from the Lord, and make sure you can separate your own personal feelings from that word from the Lord. Look what it says there in verse 5. It says, when we had come to the end of those days, we departed and went on our way. And they all accompanied us with wives and children till we were out of the city, and we knelt down on the shore and prayed. Now, when the week was up, it was time to make their way to Jerusalem. They all accompanied Paul to the ship, referring to the believers of Tyre. Now, who did they bring with them? Don't miss this. Notice how they brought their wives and their children. Oh, notice how the men brought their wives and children with them to say goodbye to Paul. You know, I used to hear people say all the time in the earlier years of our church, well, we don't come to church on Wednesday nights because we're having family time. Which normally consisted of mom watching one TV, normally HGTV or Lifetime or Hallmark. Dad is watching another TV with sports on it or some man movie, shoot 'em up, blow 'em up. The kids are either playing video games or on their phones. And this is, watch this, family time. Or another example of family time is eating in front of the TV together, everyone with plates on their laps, offering up food offerings to the one-eyed God. These disciples brought their families to hear and to be with the Apostle Paul. The men didn't come and then leave their families behind. They brought them along as well. Do you remember what Pharaoh said to Moses in the book of Exodus when he told him, when Moses said, God said, let my people go. Three things Pharaoh told Moses. Watch this. Number one, he said in Exodus 8 in verse 28, he says, you can go and worship, but don't go very far away. And what Satan was saying through Pharaoh is this. You can go, but don't go overboard in your worship of God. Don't go very far. Don't be a fanatic. However, what is the short, the abbreviation of fanatic is fan. No, don't be a fan of God and church and spiritual things. Don't go very far in your worship of God. Just follow Jesus at a distance, like Peter did in Matthew 26 and verse 58, and he eventually denied the Lord. Just follow Jesus, just enough. Just keep him in your eyes. Hey, he's way up there, but as long as you can see him, just follow him at a distance. Don't go very far. That's the first thing he told him. The second is Pharaoh told Moses in Exodus 10 and verse 11, just the men can go and leave your little ones behind. Or don't force them to be a fan of God and church and spiritual things like you are. Let them make their own decisions about God and church. That's the kind of mess that folks are saying today. Well, you know, I'm not going to force my religion on my kids. I'm just going to let them figure it out on their own. You don't do that with their eating, because if you let kids just eat whatever they want, they eat cereal, candy, cookies, and chips all the time. You make a conscious decision to make sure they get some greens and some vegetables and some things. You make the conscious decision on their physical health, and you're gonna let them figure it out about their spiritual health? Are you kidding me? Oh no. And notice Moses, or Pharaoh told Moses, just the men can go. And then number three, Pharaoh told Moses in Exodus 10 and verse 24. He says, okay. You can go and your families as well, but watch this, but leave your flocks and herds behind. In other words, you can go and serve God with your families, but leave your herds behind. Or go and serve God, but leave your money at home. Don't give God your material wealth, your herds and flocks. They represented financial wealth back then. Leave that behind. And to each one of these, Moses looked at Pharaoh and says, No, I'm going to go all the way with God. I'm going to bring my family with me on this journey with God. I'm going to worship him with my material wealth as well. Did you know, and many of you probably did know, but did you know that giving to God financially is an act of worship? 2 Corinthians 9 verses 6 through 9 is not on the screen for you note takers. It tells us this. So Moses told Pharaoh that he is going all the way with God, with his family, and he's bringing his wealth with him. This is what he told him. And I, you know, when I hear that, I say, oh Lord, give us more men like Moses that will lead their families in God's direction. Give us more men like these disciples in Tyre that went with the Apostle Paul and listened to him with their families. They didn't leave them at home playing video games or over a friend's house or at home doing, here's the dittos again, homework, you know, or all of a sudden they didn't leave them at home because they all of a sudden on church night got some big project that was due. Now, sometimes it may be, but here's the thing. That kid knew a week or two that project was going to be coming up. They're going to wait on the night before, which happened to be church night, to say, I got a project that's due. Okay, when is it due? Tomorrow. So, we got to go to church. Well, hey, this project, it's worth 50% of the grade. All right, stay home, get it done. See, that's the kind of mess. And then when you walk away, they're doing like this. Smiling at you. And then all of a sudden you go. As a man, you go. Or as a single parent, you go. And you come home blessed by being in God's presence. And sitting at the feet of Jesus, hearing his word being taught, and you come home and your kid's fingers are hurting from either texting or playing too much PlayStation, 10? Well, where are they by now? You know, your wife is looking at you funny because she just finished watching some movie on Lifetime where the husband was cheating on his wife. And now your wife is saying, church was over 30 minutes ago. Where were you? It's just like the guy on the movie. No, man, no. Pray for God's strength to be the man of God in your home, to say as Joshua did in Joshua 24, verse 15, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I don't know about the rest of y'all in y'all's house, but for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. So turn off the phone and the TV, honey, because we're going to church, and the kids too, getting it back. That's the real man of God that's going to lead his family that way. I love the second part of verse 5, how he says, we knelt down on the shore and prayed. What a beautiful witness this must have been to the fishermen nearby and the people of Tyre, to see these believers bowing down in prayer together on the sand. They prayed together on the sand. Men, single parents, do you have times of prayer with your families? You should, because it is rightfully said, the family that prays together stays together. I have said it many times, if you want to see your family altered or changed, you must have family altar, a time of just praying, reading the Bible, and expressing your heart to the Lord as a family. You'd be surprised at the things your kids pick up on just reading the scriptures. They were a witness praying on the shore, and we can as well when we go out to eat and we publicly pray and give thanks for the food. It can be a powerful witness to those that are in the restaurant. None of this headache praying. You said, what do you mean by headache praying? You pretend like you got a headache. Oh, Lord, I just thank you for this food. You know, this is how the kids pray at school, you know, because they don't want the other kids to know they're a Christian praying for their meal, so they pretend they got a headache. Lord, I just thank you for this food. In Jesus' name. You all right? Oh, yeah, yeah, I'm good. I'm good. It's gone now. You know, it's good. You know, I see this stuff all the time. Look what it says there in verse 6. It says, when we had taken our leave of one another, we boarded the ship and they returned home. So they parted ways and these precious believers headed back home. Now, do you think that any of them regretted their time hearing Paul and praying together? Oh, no. I believe that they were blessed because Galatians 6 and verse 8 says, he who sows to the Spirit or spiritual things will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And they chose as a family to sow spiritual things, praying and hearing from Paul, and God's blessings were upon them. However, Galatians 6:8 also said, but if we sow to the flesh or fleshly carnal things, we will reap corruption. In other words, when we sow to our fleshly desires, our walks with Christ will begin to deteriorate, or we will start to see our lives and the lives of our families start to see a corruption in the family. These families went away blessed. Is your family blessed? Do you guys sow spiritual things? Men, single parents, do you sow spiritual things? Men, don't allow your wife to go up and always do the spiritual things with the children while you're down there watching a game. You, nowadays, because of technology, you hit that pause button on that game and you go up and you read and pray with them. It's a great time. And on top of that, you can come back, pick up where you left off. You got enough time where you can fast forward through the commercials. This is a great thing. Great technology today. It's none of that sort of stuff. Man, I got to turn off this game. Man, I'm missing the game, man. I tell you. Okay, y'all want to pray? Let's pray. Man, bow your head, you know. I can hurry up and get back to this game. I know I missed the whole first half. Well, not anymore. Because of technology, you can pause that, you know. So these are the things that the men of Tyre did. By bringing their families to hear the Apostle Paul say goodbye to them, and they sold into spiritual things. And we will pick up and we will see part two of this message as we pick it up in verse 7, God's will, next week. Let me conclude with this. Focus on the family. We saw how Paul had a 7-day break or vacation, and he found disciples, or he went to church. Don't look at vacation as a time to take a vacation from church or Bible study or Bible reading or spiritual things. The only time, I'm just personally, the only time that I can't find a church is when I'm on a cruise ship. I'm on a cruise ship. I have my own church, you know, but outside of that, I'm looking for a church. Kind of, you know, I study churches. I'm always want to learn, you know, so what work one area may not work in another area, or there may be some universal principle that another church is doing that may work here as well. So I'm always looking to learn, looking to see what folks are doing in other churches, the great thing they're doing. So find a church. Find one like Paul did. Report back to your family. It'd be a huge witness to your unsaved loved ones. And you will also find that your vacation will be enriched and it will be blessed. We saw how the men of Tyre brought their families and children with them to hear and to be with Paul. Men, single parents, this is our job to do. Pray that God will give you the courage, strength, and favor to say as Joshua did, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. This means diligently praying for them before you make your declaration. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Pray first so God can soften their hearts to receive your bold declaration. Now, here's the thing. Some of you, I didn't come from this type of home, but I don't know. I don't care if you're living under my roof. That means that it is my house. It means that there are my rules. And if you don't like my rules, there's always the door. The door opens up on both sides. And you can all leave out. It's not this stuff, well, I'm here and my children who live at home are at home. I don't understand your parenting today. I don't understand that. You under my roof. That means it's my house. I pay the bills. I make the rules. And if by chance my rules don't agree with you, then you're grown, especially if you got some grown ones at home. You grown. You can go ahead and make other accommodations. I'm not going to be sad about that at all, because I'm in the years of the empty nester years. Therefore, I want to enjoy that empty nest. Therefore, if you don't like my rules, then it's time for you to find a new nest. You've heard me say many times, at home, I'm Mufasa. And you Simba. And just in case Simba grows up and don't like Mufasa's cave, his den, then it's time for Simba to find him a den. And I don't have a problem with that. Now, there's nothing wrong with helping our kids. They fall in some tough times. Everybody needs help. But if you're going to be under my roof, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Now, your house may be different. But for mine, we serve the Lord. We didn't give our kids an option. You think you're going to go to church with us today? That was not an option for us. They already knew. It wasn't like getting a car. It was not. It was just automatic. It's what day? It's Wednesday. Oh, well, they got ready. It's Sunday. Oh, we already know where we're going. I really need to do a parenting 101 class because some of y'all struggling. Some of y'all really struggling. Got some grown folk living at home, like, and they stay at home like they make the rules. You can make the rules in your own house. You living with your mama. Mama? But that's my baby. Your baby need God. You see, you need him. You in here. Your grown baby. You calling him baby. See, that's probably why he's still at home. That's a whole nother sermon. I let that one go. But y'all get what I'm saying. Mama. Cut that apron string. Let that boy grow up. Boot him out. I mean, he'll grow up fast then. He will. He'll find a way to make it. Amen. That's probably what he need. Oh, wow. God is talking to somebody and I'm trying to end and God's still talking to some folks. All right, God, come on now. I'm trying to end this thing. But there's some folks that need to hear it. Need to hear it. And on top of that, mama, get out of the way when dad is trying to make a man out of him. You get out of the way. Yeah, he'll still be your baby, but he'll be your baby outside the roof, on the outside. Let that dad be a dad in his life. You know, we know that we got one day, we raised our boys to be men because we knew one day they will be over families. They will have families of their own. You got to go. Don't let the doorknob hit you. Got to go. I told y'all the story. My son had, the, you know, he tell you. He was like, oh, I'm ready to go. Well, I'm like, okay, I'm ready for you to go. Okay. So, you know, he was at the school system, you're teaching at the school. He said, okay, when I get off from home, okay, we'll load the moving truck and we'll move to my apartment. Before school was out, when he came home, I was sitting on the couch. Loaded the truck myself. I had the couch on my back. Walked it up that thing. He said, Dad, you ready to load the truck? I said, load it. Let's go. Humped it. I knew I was raising men. See, I got to raise men. You know, now the thought of him having to come back home, he's like, no, I won't come back home. Because now he's Mufasa of his own home. Can't have two Mufasas in the same den. Can't have his own den. He got his own den and loves it. But see, you know, hey, a mama would have said, oh baby, you don't have to go. My wife, you don't have to go right now. You know, the devil's a lie. You got to get up out of here. Why my back ain't no good now. I had to. Some of y'all need to get some tips. I need to do a parenting 101 class. I tell you, from boys to men, that's what I label it. All right. Now, before we close in prayer, we're going to have the worship team come back up. And those who are serving, they're going to be going back out to their posts. So your experience going out can be just as pleasant as going in. And so this is what they're doing as they're heading out right now. And the worship team is coming up. But this is now your time. This is your time to definitely now just do some things that God is calling you to do to make sure your heart is right before you leave here. Make sure that God is the head of your life. There are some things that you've heard and maybe some things you need to get right. But before we do all that, maybe there's someone here as we close in prayer that have never repented of your sin and accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior. We're going to give you that opportunity now. And Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit will move in this room. Lord, that you would change lives for all eternity. Lord, tug upon hearts. Draw them by your Spirit. Draw them now, Lord, to you. And as every head is still bowed and every eye is still closed, if that's you today, you've never repented of your sin. If you've never accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you've never repented of your lying, your stealing, your adultery, your porn, whatever it is, you've never repented, and you want to accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, if that's you, just slip up your hand. I want to pray for you. Slip up your hand so I can see it. I want to pray for you. If there's anyone here who's never done that, God bless you. I'll see you there. God bless you. Anyone else? Anyone else? There's one that is honest. There's one that's true. You know, if you've never prayed and said, Jesus, come into my heart. If you never prayed that, just slip up your hand. I want to pray for you. Anyone else? Anyone else? God bless you. I see your hand too. If there's no one else, for those who raise your hand, these two men, I need those men to come on up here so I can pray for you. Come forward so I can pray for you. Come on up. These are men coming forward. These are men. These are men. Anyone else, you can come at this time. They've already broke the ice. If that's you, you come forward as well. You come as well. I love seeing men. I love seeing men. Anyone else? All right, man, I want you to just repeat this prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sin. I believe you died on the cross and was buried and rose again just for me. Come into my heart. I make you my Lord and Savior. Help me to live for you by the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen.